You get to see each other's houses, huh?
Yeah, yeah, pretty.
A very revealing time.
Yes.
I was still like in apartment. So I'm pretty good, but one of my biggest paranoias was, oh my gosh, we're going into this, and oh, everyone's going to see my house and where I live, and no more privacy anymore. They're going to go, oh, that red couch. Oh, no.
My wife made me vacuum
the bathroom. Yeah, and for me, like, well, you guys look like you clean up pretty good. I don't know about you, dude. So yeah.
<I'm> down there. That is Giancarlo Esposito, who's a pretty busy man these days with his own series, Parish. But in season two of The Boys, he played Vought CEO Stan Edgar. He spoke to us in a roundtable setting at the time in this episode of Rewind, as he was concerned, tongue-in-cheek, about people seeing his house. This is Sci-Fi Talk, the podcast on how sci-fi, fantasy, horror, and comics help us explore our humanity. Here is Giancarlo Esposito on being offered the role of Stan Edgar.
Yeah, so I'm a huge fan of Eric Kripke as well, and became that fan. You know, heard all about Supernatural from my four daughters. Whenever they would come to visit, they'd be locked in the library binging Supernatural. And I, of course, don't know much about that show, but met him on Revolution and fell in love with him. His ideas, his energy, his clarity were really, to me, pushing the envelope always. And so I was up in Toronto, was in the studio doing a piece called Jet. I turned a corner and there was Eric Kripke with his whole crew, and who I had all met on Revolution. And I said, what are you doing? He says, I'm doing this show, you know, it's called The Boys and da 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 da. And oh, great, great. Sound like it's a superhero show. And I went, oh, wow, fantastic. And then he started scratching his head and he kind of looked at me, and I said, Erica, I think I know what you're thinking. I've seen that look before. And he said, well, would you? First thing out of his mouth, would you? I said, of course I would. Of course I would. Because I love you. And the concept sounds great. So I didn't know too much about the show then. And then maybe a month later, you know, my people came to me and said, hey, look, they called and blah, blah, blah. You know, all the regular stuff. They can't afford you all. I said, look, put all that in a draw. I love this guy, Kripke. I love what he does. Let's get the 411. And they tell me what the character could be. And I was on board immediately because I felt like the essence of this show was something different. It was about superhumanity being human in many ways. It was about superheroes who, you know, did things that humans did. You know, abused each other, hurt each other, had to apologize, stole from each other, you know, try to kill each other. I mean, and I thought, oh, okay, this is an extension of a lot of what I feel is reflective of what's going on in our society. And then I started to watch some of the show, and I went, oh, my God, there's Trump, there's this guy, you know what I mean? And I went, oh, wow. So to me, it's been an illuminating show. It's been incredible to work with Eric. You know, I came in just to do a few episodes, and then everything changed. You know, all of a sudden, Madeline was going. And so Kripke came to me and said, hey, would you want to be, you know, I've got ideas. And I said, well, I got ideas too. And he started writing. And so, you know, I always, and he, look, it happens that way when you're inspired by a writer and they're inspired by you or a creator, that they give you a shot, you do a scene, and they see something, a different side of you they've never seen before. And then they go, oh my goodness, this could take us here. This could take us here. Are you willing to go there? And I say, sure. Because this show, season two, I'll tell you right now, season two is going to blow your mind. Because it has all of these very, and I'm sure you've seen three, but it has all these very human elements about people who have sometimes not very good intentions, yet their gig, their job, their acting day job is to put on the cape and save lives, which is a wonderful thing to be shown about our world, because everything is a show now. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter what I say. You could twist what I say, and words are being, you know, misconstrued, and all these things are happening all in our show to the genius of Eric Kripke, which shows intention and morality and politics, money, science. It's all there in a wonderful way on this show, and I really respect Eric for creating it.
There's more with Giancarlo Esposito in a moment. Does Edgar have contempt for superheroes, or does he see them as a necessary part of the corporate structure?
What a great question. I believe that my character has a little bit of both. You feel that in the scene with Homelander, a little contempt for his childlike attitude and wanting to have feel as if, first of all, his ego needs to be stroked, and then he needs to know that he is the most powerful, that the power is his. Now, obviously, Stan Edgar knows what his powers entail, but Stan is completely cool. No fear, no worry. Instead, he takes the course to ask him a question. What do you know about this big company of which you're, he says, I'm the face of Vaught. You know, you ask some camel jockey out in the middle of wherever his lines are, out in the desert, and they're going to, they show him a picture, and they're going to go, Homelander. So I immediately know what he needs. He needs stardom. He needs glory. He needs power. He needs to feel like he's that guy. Stan doesn't have time to play games. This is a show that's been created. We'll see. We'll find out, we think, by Vaught. Stan is the face of Vaught, but he's more than that as well. So he chooses a route. His route is, let me ask you a question, and your answer will tell me everything. Well, I read all the books, but have you read the right books? And he starts to educate him on the origins of the company, of which we still don't know quite exactly where that comes from. But that is to allow him to know and to think, oh, I don't know everything. And so in a way, he reins him in maybe slightly a paternal way with some obvious disdain for someone who is able to wield all that power, who doesn't have the sense to get who and what he's representing.
More on The Boys Season 2 on Rewind with Giancarlo Esposito in a moment. What sources did he pull on to play Edgar?
Well, for Stan, he's running a very, very big business that, you know, obviously he tells Homelander, you know, you're under the impression it's a superhero company. This is a pharmaceutical company. I love the science of it. I love the fact that he's a company man. I really like the fact that corporate strategists and corporate leaders have ultimately, as Stan encompasses and embodies, is a great calm, because he sees the road. He sees where it's going, far beyond what anybody else sees. And so for me, to manipulate the characters I play, whether they be Stan Edgar or Gus Fring, their intentions have to be evident or clearly stated for me, so that I know which way to go. Stan could be delightful, and is delightful at a dinner party. He is someone who also empowers people. In a way, he's empowering Homelander to see who he really is. And he's a great reader of people emotionally. So he knows that people and human beings struggle, in essence, sometimes with their own insecurities and their own idiosyncrasies. And that is a human trait. He also knows a lot of what we don't know behind Compound V, where the heroes are starting to find out that maybe they weren't naturally gifted and born this way. I love that Homelander's ego is so big that he feels like, you know, this is how he came out. I love the way he talks to his son, says, you're like me. And it's just so beautifully written, and such a metaphor for our time. But to link it up to what you said, yeah, we want you to spend your money on little pills that will make your headache go away and make your cancer go away. We're in that society. And so the reflection of all that Eric as a creator has written in this show of what we're really living is what truly fascinates me. We're not pushing health food energy. We're not pushing Ayurveda. We're not pushing, I don't heal you. I just give your mind the cue so that you can heal yourself naturally. No, we're doing toxic stuff and giving toxic stuff to each other, because that is money. Whether they get part of that money from the government and the rest of that money from you It's money. And this is the very clearly and unfortunately a very, very clear depiction of where we're going, especially in our society today, especially since we're all here virtually awaiting a vaccine so that we can go have contact with people again. Just in case we get it, then we can take the vaccine and it'll all be okay. Your body is vaccine enough. And so Stan knows that, but knows that the dollars and the money are to keep the shareholders happy. There's something else going on. Wait, and you'll see what it is.
Yeah, what's chilling about him was when he's in that meeting where the lunch is being delivered, and he's going through the bylaws of the company, and it's like he gets to collateral damage, and he's talking about the official and then unofficial view of it. And what's even more chilling is how the company markets these superheroes, that everything is polished, spit, you know, perfect. And yet, of course, we know that's not true. Speak of that aspect of it. That's actually the scariest part of Stan and the company to me.
I love it. The show is everything. And we're seeing it played out in our political landscape today. They're having quite polished it as Hollywood has, unfortunately. Too bad they didn't think about that, because the world and life and circumstance gets in the way, and you have to be malleable and adjust. And that's why they hire me, because I can be spontaneous and malleable and adjust, right? Get out of my childlike mind that says, no, what, you don't like me? And go, wait, you know, I'm going to help you understand who I am so you do like me, right? Because my intention is for you to be your best self. That may be a different intention than what our people have for us. And it might be a different intention than what Stan has for the world as well. But he knows this is powerful. This media thing is powerful. This camera visual is powerful. You know, that is, in essence, the show of our time. Kripke is brilliant how he's been able to link this up, also giving us a taste of what it might like to be a superhero. Right? But that clue that's there is that we're all superheroes for reasons that we are being asked to forget, because the drug will make us stronger. Like when the cops try to arrest someone who's hopped up on meth, they're so freaking strong, right? Why are they strong? Well, the cops say it's because they're high and strung out, right? But they've taken something that's given their brain the cue that they're all powerful and can do whatever the fuck they want. Right? This is the world we're coming to, right? It really is. So, you know, it's the easy fix, the easy way, leaving out spirituality or connection to intention, goodness, compassion, love, or any of those other things. But it's a true testament to where we're going. Like, it doesn't matter what you say. I'll twist what you say up three or four times. And look, how many times do you hear something about someone that you know, and you go, I can't believe that. But yet, the poison's already there. Because you were told your best friend lied to you. No, he didn't. I've known that guy for 40 years. No, but he manipulated, blah, blah, blah. Then the question mark is there, right? And this is our world today. And so I'm very happy to be a part of the boys and playing Stan Edgar, so that you can see that intention is important. And intention used in a way that's forceful is even more important. And yes, we can go right to the death and violence of it. But we can also go to the intention of it, because for all intents and purposes, you know, if my intention is to get a big, huge bag of money, well, there are a lot of ways to do that. But if it's to have, you know, that money always coming in that same huge bag every week, then it becomes nefarious. I want for me and for the I and the me, as opposed to the we and the us. So then we, you and I, get all complacent. So when we watch a show like The Boys, we should get excited and titillated, but we should also look at the humanity that's embodied within the show, and we should also look at the powerful elements that we feel we can't overcome. And those are the elements that are going to change our lives and allow us to be true superheroes, because we'll use our voice to change where our government has faulted us. Like, we've been raised in a society where, yeah, people owned each other, not only in African-American South, slaves coming over from Africa, but the Spanish and the English and everyone. right? So we've got to take that in context of the world and start to figure out how to have a worldly consciousness that respects each other. Well, in our show, The Boys, we see that we doubt. Stan doesn't doubt himself one bit. He's not afraid. He doesn't doubt. He knows where it's going. And that calm that you feel with him is an ease. And that I love playing that ease. There's nothing that he wants for. And, you know, he knows he's responsible for a lot of lives and a lot of people and a lot of things. But he has an ease with which he conducts himself because he has an idea of what the bigger picture is. Again, that man behind the curtain.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great answer.
Look for The Boys on Prime Video.
Customizable podcast playlists, exclusive videos, special episodes like the Mix 100 podcasts selected by listener downloads. All this and more at Sci-Fi Talk Plus. And now, with 1,000 episodes, uncut, and a special offer for free lifetime access, now available until May 1st, click on the link in the show notes. No anonymous signups are allowed.
And for Rewind, thanks for listening. I'm Tony Tolato.